So there's a few of you that are looking at the title of the message today and you're going, oh boy, this is going to be boring. Well, let me tell you something. It's possible. It's possible that it could be boring. But let me tell you, the Word of God is always good. Amen? So if we're going to be teaching and preaching the Word of God this morning, there is something the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, period. So, if this seems boring, give God a chance. Amen? Give God a chance. Church membership. For those of you that have been with us over the last month, you know that we've been talking about core beliefs. The core beliefs of the Christian church, but also some of the core beliefs of the Church of God. The title on our sign, right? Smith Chapel Church of God. And this is one of those teachings that's going to be a little different from what you might have experienced in other congregations and other places. Now, when I was a kid in elementary school, I went to Fordyce Elementary School, and there was a program then called Gifted and Talented. You ever heard of that program, Gifted and Talented? They had a program called Gifted and Talented, and in that program, there were a few things that had to be done for you to get into this program. The first thing that you had to do was you had to pass a test. And you had this test that you took. I remember taking it very distinctly. It was one of those tests that, you know, would have a couple of lines on the paper and it would say, you know, draw something with only these two lines. You know, weird questions like that. I guess they were testing your creativity and things of that sort. So I took this test. And then I remember you had to have a recommendation. Someone had to recommend you for Gifted and Talented. Probably one of your teachers recommended you for this. And then you had to have a note, and you would take this note home, and you would have to have this note signed by Mom and Dad if you wanted to be a part of the program. Well, I remember going through all of this, someone saying they recommended me, taking the test, bringing the note home, you know, jumping through all the hoops to be a part of this Gifted and Talented group at school. And they called all the kids out, and they said, it's time to go to Gifted and Talented. You know, all the kids get their gear, and they're leaving class. And Miss Ann, I'm thinking, my first day, I'm out of here, right? I'm going with the smart kids to the promised land. So I'm in my trench coat. You know, I pick up all my stuff. I got my trench coat on. And I walk in there, and I sit down, and the teacher looks at me and she says, honey, I don't think you're supposed to be here. And I said, whoa. I got recommended. I took the test. I passed the test. I took the note home and I got the note signed and I'm supposed to be in the class. And they said, all I can tell you is that your name's not on my list. You're going to have to go back to regular class. So I got up a little deflated and a little embarrassed. And I walked back to regular class, never to grace the hallowed halls of Gifted and Talented again. For that matter, it pretty much ruined the rest of my career in school. I hated school. I hated learning. All of that. I made pretty bad grades after that because I didn't get into the club, Jamie. And I'm a defiant person. And you know, people love clubs. We love societies and clubs and organizations. And you know, the thing about these is they always have a situation where someone needs to recommend you for the club or the society. You know, whether it's a country club or even a ministry like the Gideon, somebody's got to recommend you. And a lot of these things that you get into, these clubs, these organizations, you got to take some sort of test or have some sort of knowledge. And then you've got to present that knowledge in some way to somebody else. And a lot of times there's some initiation or there's a voting. There's at least one person and maybe multiple people that get to say, Robin, you're in. Marilyn, you're in. It's always up to a person to say you're in. Ooh, she's fanning. I thought you were going, do it, Pastor. Do it. You know, do it. Preach. There's always some way to get into this organization that is dependent on something you know, somebody that recommended you, or some person that says you can be in this or you cannot be in this, right? This is our club. In fact, it is so pervasive in the human world that this happens that you see it even in children. Have you ever yourself or had one of your children or grandchildren put a sign on their door? If they're a boy, say, no girls allowed. treehouse, in the bedroom. Or the girls say, no boys allowed. We choose who comes in our room. We choose who comes into our treehouse. We choose who gets to be a part of our group. We get to make the rules. We get to set the standards. And how many of you know that that bleeds over into the church life? That same attitude that we have on every level of our society, where we get to make decisions about who we include in this group, who gets to be a part, we do that even in the church. How do you become a member of a church? Well, let me tell you, you will not be interested to read the documentation. I looked this up because you're going to find out very soon that we don't have any of this. So I'm ignorant to it all. So I thought, well, how do you become a member of a church? So I typed in to Google, you know, I typed in, how do I become a member of the church? I didn't even mention the denomination. The one that came up, they occupied the whole first page of my results, was the Episcopal Church. They're doing a great job making sure that you get that information. And because when I said the church, that's the one that came up. So I'm not picking on the Episcopal Church. That's the only one I read, and that's the only one I'm going to read after that. I pulled up their documentation. How do you become a member of the Episcopal Church? It reads like an instruction manual. Point A, point B, 1, 2, 3, you know, a little section, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, and it comes down to this. In order to become a member of the Episcopal Church, you must be baptized in the what? Episcopal Church. So to be a member of their church, you must be baptized in the Episcopal Church. Part two, you must take communion where? In the Episcopal Church. Now, as I read through this very long document, they had some change of heart down the road. And they said, well, we're willing to admit that maybe some other people in some other churches might be Christians too. So they said, well, maybe you can become a member if you've been baptized in that other church and you take communion in that other church, but you also must believe in the Trinity. That was the criteria. You must believe in the Trinity. And then this document goes on and on with all these different sections. I printed it out, and I just printed like a little teeny weeny little piece of this large document. Are you bored with my explanation of how to become part of the Episcopal Church? You probably should be, because it's boring. It's very boring. And Paula, if you were going to become a member, you need to know this stuff. You need to study this stuff, or someone would have to teach you this stuff. You would have to understand what it was going to take for you to be a member, and you better abide by it. You better get baptized in that church. You better take communion in that church, and you better believe in the Trinity. Now, here's the problem, folks, with that particular way of joining a church, in every way that I've ever seen anybody try to describe in their own words in some document how to become a member of the church, is that Jesus Christ never said you must be baptized in the Episcopal Church. You must be baptized in the Methodist Church. You must be baptized in the Baptist Church. You show it to me in the Bible, I'll change my mind. It also never said you must take communion in the Catholic Church, or you must take communion in the Presbyterian Church, or the Assembly of God Church. You show it to me in the Bible, and I'll change my mind. It also never says you must believe in the Trinity. Hello. Now, does your pastor believe in the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? One God in three persons. You better believe I believe in that. But nowhere does Jesus say, if you want to be saved, you must believe in the Trinity. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, in order to become a member of the church, you must believe in the Trinity. In fact, that term is not even in the Bible. Yet this whole document that I read, this rule book about church membership that people wrote so that you could be part of their club, You know, they're doing the same thing that people do in schools and in societies and communities and country clubs and clubhouses all around the world. They're making their rules. And if you want to be part of this group, you must follow our rules. And we get to tell you whether or not you get to be a part. Now, I hope you're not offended this morning, because I promise I do have a point. People want to do this. People have a desire to do this. But God has absolutely no desire for this sort of thing. I'm going to share with you something today that a lot of you know, but some of you that are new to the Church of God, come from other faith traditions, you may not know, and you may not even understand why we teach. And it's very simply this. It's very simply this. If you are a born-again Christian, you are part of the Church of God. I don't get to tell you whether or not you're part of the church. Our elder board doesn't get to tell you whether or not you're part of the church. Our state and national councils don't get to tell you whether you're part of the church. No man or woman alive walking the face of the planet gets to tell you whether or not you are a part of the Church of God. Do you know the only person that gets to make that decision? Jesus Christ. The Lord Almighty is the only one that gets to make the decision of whether or not you are part of the church. That's it. And what I want to do today is I want to share with you why the Church of God teaches that. Why you're going to hear messages about this. Why are you going to hear Pastor Shane talk about this? Why, when you come to me and you say, "Pastor Shane, I want to be a member of your church. What do I need to do?" I don't really have a good answer. Get saved? Are you saved? Are you baptized? You ready to worship? You ready to serve? Let's go. Well, where do I take my letter? I've got a letter. How many of you have ever been in another church? You got a letter somewhere. You know you're still a member of their church. You're still a member of their club. And when they tally everything up, you're still there. Because you haven't moved the letter anywhere else. My grandmother used to have a real big problem with this. My grandma Jerry, she would always talk about, you know, "I moved my letter from this church to that church." She was always moving her letter. It was a big deal. It's a big deal to people that move letters. I don't understand the letter moving. And it comes honest, because I've never had a letter. All the churches I ever went to, I went to as a kid. The only church I've ever been an adult member of is this one. And they never put me on any kind of thing. I don't have a letter. I don't understand the culture of the letter changing. So I'm going to explain to you this morning why we believe this. Why we don't have a church letter. Why we don't make you get baptized here. Why you don't have to take communion here. Why you don't have to believe all that we believe about the Bible. Why we can worship together, even if you've got some differences of opinion in what I teach, so long as we got the fundamentals all on the same page. Amen? Amen. You ready to go? All right, let's start out this morning with a passage from the song that Jamie sang right before I got up to preach. This is called "The Church's Jubilee." The Church's Jubilee. Now, the Church of God is very unique in that because we don't have creeds, and we don't have documentation to list what we teach and what we believe, it was all written down in our music. So when you read our hymnals, you read our belief system, okay? So the song we just sang has this passage in it. "The day of sects and creeds for us forevermore is past." What that's saying is, no longer will we ever submit to a list of rules that men and women come up with that say who's part of the church and who's not. If it's not in the Bible, we don't want to hear about it. Amen? Amen. That day is past. We're done with it. "Our brotherhood are all the saints upon the world." So vast. That means it's not just Smith Chapel Church of God. And guess what? It's not just Church of God based in Anderson, Indiana. It's the Methodist Church and the Catholic Church and the Presbyterian Church and all these churches. Anybody who is a believer in Jesus and have been washed in the blood of Jesus and are saved, you're our brother. You're a saint. You're part of the Church of God. "Our brotherhood are all the saints upon the world so vast. We reach our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one." That means that there's never going to be a time where you will walk into a Church of God congregation where anyone's going to say, "Well, you know, you Baptists don't believe exactly like we do, so you need to take our class, and you need to get baptized here, you need to take communion here, and you need to get your act together." Baptist. You need to get your act together, Methodist. You need to get your act together, Presbyterian, because now you're in the Church of God and you must think like us and do our stuff. You'll never hear that here. And if you do, they're probably not teaching the traditional teachings from Scripture, which I'm going to lay out for you in just a second. We reach our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one. We love, while love entwines about each heart, which God's will is done, in which God's will is done. And this was written by Andrew L. Byers. So next time we sing that song, pay attention to the lyrics, because you literally are singing what the Church of God teaches about its doctrine and the Scriptures that we teach. So let's jump right in. Where's the scriptural proof for this? Where did we come up with this? Why do we teach the way we teach when so many people do have all these hoops that you have to jump through and documents that you've got to read? John 10:9. It's going to be real basic for you this morning. You ready for a basic message? Basic message. John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what?
Saved.
And will go in and out and find pasture. Who's saying this?
Jesus.
If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Say, Jesus is the door.
Jesus is the door.
If you want to know how to get into the church, you don't have to look any further than at Jesus. Jesus himself says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That means, Jamie, if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you have confessed your sins, you've repented, you've asked for forgiveness, you have follow Jesus Christ in faith. You are a Christian, and I can't tell you that you're not. No church can tell you that you're not. No group of people can tell you that you're not, because they don't get to make that decision for you. That's up to Jesus. So the question is, are you a part of the Church of God? If you entered through the door of Jesus, then you are. If you're saved because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, then you are saved. Jesus is the door. I want you to remember that, okay? So why don't we have regular church membership? Why don't we have these hoops for you to jump through? Why don't we have all this documentation? Because our documentation is the Scripture. And the Scripture teaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father except through Him. Jesus is the door. Say it again. Jesus is the door. Next scripture, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says this: they're praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So Jesus is the doorway into the church. You want to be a member of the church? Go through Jesus. Get saved. Be forgiven. Accept the grace that Jesus has offered. That's the doorway. And then he adds you to the church. Jesus adds you to the church. Look at the person next to you and say, Jesus adds you. Jesus adds you to the church. Now I want you to think of how contradictory this is. In any situation where any group of people would ever deny you membership in a congregation, ever, say you cannot be part of the church because you weren't baptized here. Who adds people to the church? Jesus or the pastor? Jesus or the board of directors? Jesus or the congregation? Jesus or the National Assembly? Jesus is the only one that adds people to the church, period. Men don't get to do it. Groups and organizations don't get to do it. Guess what, guys? I'm sorry to tell you, but you don't get to make the rules. You don't get to say, you're not allowed. You can't come in. You haven't jumped through our hoops. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So Jesus is the doorway into the church, and Jesus himself adds people to the church, not human beings. Let's take a look at number three, Ephesians 5:25. I love this one. Ephesians 5:25, if you've ever had marriage counseling, premarriage counseling or anything like that, you've heard this scripture by me, and I've also preached it a few times. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved who? The church. And did what? He gave himself for her. I'm going to give you a quick quiz. You ready for a quick quiz? Did Pastor Shane die for your sins?
No.
If Pastor Shane ever decided to die for you, Travis, would it even cover your sins?
No.
You know why? Because Pastor Shane is also a sinner, right? And without the death of Jesus, I'm no good to you. So for me to look at you and say you can't be a part of this church is ridiculous. Because I didn't die for you. And guess what? The elder board didn't die for you. The congregation that might vote you in, they didn't die for you either. The National Assembly, they didn't die for you. None of these people died for you. Who died for you, church?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus is the door, number one. Jesus adds to the church. And Jesus is the only one that ever died for you that was capable of paying for your sins. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's the door. He's the one that had you, and he's the one that died for you. You following so far? Are you getting a picture of why the Church of God teaches membership the way that we do? That we accept blood-washed Christians from all around the world and all faith traditions because we don't get to pick and choose who gets to be a member of our church. Because only Jesus can do that. Let's take a look at the next scripture that I've got this morning. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Now, this one is particularly interesting. And all these scriptures, in my opinion, say something directly about this idea that any man or organization could ever control who's a part of the church and who's not. But this one I love. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, there is how many Lords?
One.
How many faiths? How many baptisms?
One.
How many gods?
One.
And the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So you explain to me right now how in the world you can ever read that scripture and believe that you have got to be baptized in a specific church at a specific place in order to be saved and part of the church. There's only one baptism. I don't care where you get baptized. If it's a real baptism, it's a real baptism. There's only one Lord. If you're serving that Lord, you're good to go. There's only one Father. There's only one faith. There's only one Spirit. If there's only one of all these things, how can there be so much division and disagreement on how someone gets in the church? And let me tell you what this does. This creates so much division and disharmony because every Christian person that reads this believes that it's true. You believe that? Every Christian person believes that it's true, but this is how it gets interpreted. If there's one body and one spirit, and we're called in one hope, and there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all is above all and through all and in you all. If there's only one, and you didn't get it here, then you ain't got it. Hello? Listen to what I'm saying to you. This is the interpretation of any church that requires you to go through all of this just to be a part of their congregation. They are saying there is only one. They're in agreement with us. But what they're saying is it ain't yours. It's ours. And what God's saying is I don't care what your denominational name is. I don't care what organization you belong to. I don't care how many documents you prepare. I don't care how big your bylaws are. I don't care what you say. I'm going to save who I'm going to save. I died for the whole world. Amen?
Amen?
And I am the door. And I add people to the church. I died for the church, not you. And there's only one. How could you ever be so arrogant to believe that you figured it out where 40,000 other denominations didn't? There's only one. And they all think they're the only one. Every time. Now, before you think I'm bashing these folks, I'm not. I want you to understand that. But I don't agree with their teaching at all. I don't agree with it because in a lot of cases,
I'm a minister. I'm a called minister. I'm a pastor. I am Holy Spirit gifted to do what I'm doing. And yet in many of these churches, I cannot preach. You know why I can't preach in those churches? Because I don't have that one baptism. I don't have that letter and that baptism. I don't have their flavor. So I can't preach there. I have some that won't even pray with you. They won't even associate with you. And y'all, that is so, so disheartening. For a church that believes in unity and togetherness and to be in one accord, to have one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one Spirit, to be so divided, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And I want you to understand that at Smith Chapel Church of God, this is what we preach, this is what we teach, and I believe that it's biblical. I believe that it is God's way. I believe that this is not Shane Matthews' word. You notice on your notes that I didn't write any sermon. These are just scriptures. Now, you can try to interpret them differently if you like, but I challenge you to come up with a better version. This is just the word of God. That's all I'm talking to you about this morning. And that's what I love, is that all we got to do is look in the Bible. And there is enough information there for us to put all this stuff together. The scripture teaches that Jesus is the doorway into the church. He controls it. It teaches that he adds to the church, not us, not people. It teaches very, very clearly that there is one baptism, there's one faith, there's one Lord. He's the only one that ever died for you. It's the same church, y'all. It's the same one. Yet all throughout history, churches divide and they fight each other. Do you know that churches throughout history have fought each other so badly that instead of being persecuted by the pagans, we persecuted each other? Do you understand the level of persecution that has taken place from the Catholic to the Protestant faith alone has killed millions of people throughout history? Do you know how ridiculous that seems when you read scriptures like this? Like, you don't get to say who's in or out. But you're willing to murder all these people because they're not in your club. They didn't jump through your hoops. They're not doing it your way. Well, folks, I'm telling you, God's way is the best way. It's the only way. It's the right way. And I'm not saying the Church of God teaching is right because it's my doctrine. I'm just showing you the scriptures and asking you to make your mind up for yourself. I got a couple more that I'm going to share with you today. A couple more. Two more. Revelation 20:15. Now, I told you we don't have a roll book, right? I don't have a thing in there where I keep track of all the people that are members of the church. We don't have a letter that we have that we transfer to other churches. We don't have any of that. But do you know who does have a letter on you? Jesus has got one on you for sure. And you can read this in the scriptures. Now listen to these two passages. One is meant to prompt you to repentance. One is meant to drive you to the cross. One is meant for you to accept Jesus as your Savior and understand your need for Him. And the other is to give you great hope. You ready for both of those? If anyone not found written in the what? Book of life, they were cast where? Into the lake of fire. Now notice how this scripture did not say, and anyone not found in Smith Chapel's logbook, they're cast in the lake of fire. They didn't make it. Anyone not found in the local Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Catholic church logbook, if your letter's not in that church, lake of fire. You notice how it didn't say anything like that? What is the only logbook that matters? Is whether or not you are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's how you're going to be judged. When Jesus comes back to judge, that's the only criteria that you need to meet. That's it. Is that you're written in God's book. He's got your letter, not me. And guess what, y'all? It's non-transferable. If you transfer that letter, where does it say you're going? There's no option. He doesn't say, hey, you can transfer it to this other God or this other religion. There's no transferring that letter. It's pretty much set in place. So I'm asking you this morning, if Jesus is the door, and Jesus adds to the church, and Jesus is the one that died for your sins, have you walked through that door? Have you allowed Jesus Christ to add you to the church? Have you understood fully what He did on the cross for you, that He died for your sins, that He took your punishment on His back onto that tree? That His blood was poured out because it was the only blood that would suffice. And that He offers you grace this morning. That all you need to do is place your faith in Him and you could be forgiven. Believe in the Lord Jesus and get written in the book of life. Not Smith Chapel's roll book. The book of life. You ready for some hope this morning? Let me share some hope with you. Listen to the next scripture we've got. And this is Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are... If you are saved this morning, rejoice not that you're a member of Smith Chapel Church of God. Rejoice not that you're a member of the local Baptist church or Methodist church or Presbyterian church. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You can have great hope in that this morning. You can know this morning that your name is in the only book that's ever going to count. God's book of life. So my question to you is very simple. Do you believe that your name is in that book? I don't care if your name is on the roll at another church. I don't care what you did 50 years ago or 20 years ago. I don't care if your grandparents were Christians or your parents were Christians. I don't care if you know the scriptures better than I know them. The question is not about your pedigree. The question is not about your involvement with church. Church, like buildings and people. The question is whether or not you've ever really walked through the door that Jesus has opened for you. If you've ever accepted the grace that He gave us by dying on the cross. The question is, has He made you part of His church? Do you believe today that if Jesus were to come back in 5 minutes, that you'd be in that book of life? Do you believe if you died on the way home today, you would be in that book of life? There is no doubt in your mind. None. Then have great hope. Praise God. But if not, don't wait on some pastor or preacher or church to tell you you're saved. Because it doesn't work like that. It has to do with you and Jesus. Period. Make sure that your heart is right with Jesus Christ before you leave this place. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I'm going to ask Jamie to come up and he's going to share this last song with us. And we're going to have some time. If you would like to pray, if you'd like somebody to pray with you, these altars are open. If you feel like you're just not sure up to this point that your name is in that book of life, I'll tell you, you can correct it real easy. The Christian faith is really easy. Believe. Believe. Do you have faith? Because Jesus did all the hard work on the cross, period. All you got to do is believe and then be transformed. Receive the Holy Spirit. Become a Christian. It's very simple. I'm not saying the life is easy. The life can sometimes be very difficult. But getting saved is simple. It's so easy. And I will be happy to pray with you today and make sure that your name is in that book of life. Not because I prayed a prayer for you. Amen. Not because the preacher said so. But because all you've got to do is place your faith in Jesus.